Securities and Advisory Services through Independent Financial Group, LLC, a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor member, FINRA SIPC.
Good morning, Connecticut. Dennis O'Brien here. I'm president and owner of O'Brien Retirement, www.obrienretire.com in Mystic, Connecticut. Hope everybody's doing well. We got a hot, muggy one going out there today, so drink plenty of water if you're gardening or garage sailing it. I was in the Mystic McDonald's before I came to the show. I was writing in the office this morning, preparing for the show, and I went in to see the brain trust, I call them. The average age is about 82 years old. And people were coming in, they were going garage sailing with their kids, and it's kind of a fun day today, and I hope everybody's safe and is out there for a long time. We've had an interesting week this week. The market internals are getting stronger and stronger. My mathematical program is telling me that big rally's on the way. We'll see if it's true or not, if it's a fake out. But internally, the numbers are getting better and better again, and we haven't seen that. Since February 5th, we haven't seen these numbers. We had a couple false starts in March, April, but now it's starting to really strengthen. So I think interest rates have stopped going up for a little while. Oil's backing off a little bit. And those two things that were scaring the bulls have receded a little bit. So if we get some trade agreements or whatever on the outside, who knows? I really don't. Day-to-day paying attention drives you nuts, so don't do it. But hope everybody's well. I've had an interesting week. When you start a radio show like this, and I think I started in September, was it, Chris? And through maybe March or April, didn't really get a lot of calls for appointments and everything. And then about 4 to 6 weeks ago, I don't know, I think a switch flipped or something, because my phone is ringing off the hook. So my friend Michelle Jakovic, the budget coach, tells me that most people give up after 3 months, and I'm a stubborn Irishman. It takes me at least a year, so I figured I'd stay with it and see what happens. And now the phone's ringing off the hook. And I've enjoyed meeting each and every one of you. A lot of people are making appointments, coming in. There's no charge for the appointments. We do the retirement reviews and see where they're at, what they need to do. Some couples in their 20s and 30s, newlyweds starting out in life, get them going on the automatic savings plan, where you put away 1 hour of every day in retirement. My mathematical friends tell me that's 14%. Take your pick. I don't care if you do 12, 10, 16. But if you start doing that on an automatic basis where it comes out automatically, and you're not sending me money after you pay your bills, but send me the money before you pay your bills, I think these kids are going to do extremely well over time. So that's been, and then I've seen other people call in. I've helped some couples on a charitable basis, get out of credit card debt in terms of, you know, kind of a Dave Ramsey modified thing, but more local, trying to help them. A lot of meetings. Once again, I do it, I made an agreement with the big guy upstairs that, anybody who comes to me for help, I will help. No matter how, whatever they need. And I was sorely tested this week. Had a couple come in, and they had almost 20 credit cards, totaling about $92,000 in debt. Let me repeat that. 20 credit cards. And they're in their 50s. So I'm not super religious, but, you know, I do believe. And I turn to St. Joseph. I have a little thing of him in the office. And I said, boy, this is, yeah, I'm being tested today. But after 2 hours and 10 minutes, a lot of tears, recriminations, maybe a little bit of yelling, finger pointing, things that happen between married couples, I hope they're on the road to recovery. But it's going to take some drastic steps. And I told them I'll be there with them every step of the way. And they can meet with me as many times as they want, and there's no cost involved. And the reason I do these things is because if you're not helping others and you can't stay positive, we're going to talk about positivity a lot today, because I kind of was hit by not a thunderbolt, but a real creeping realization that without positivity, without feeling positive about your life and what you do, you won't have that energy it takes to succeed and get up out of bed in the morning and succeed and get the things done you need to get done, whether it's raising your kids, going to work every day, enjoying retirement with your spouse, or whatever it is. So we're going to talk about positivity quite a bit this week and what it means to each and every one of you. And does prayer, does belief in a higher being enter into that? I think absolutely. I think the more positive you are about your life and the things you're trying to do and your interest in other people, the better your life is. People are attracted to that. And we'll talk about that a lot today, too. So some of the things we want to talk about is, oh, at O'Brien Retirement, we don't, I say we, you know, because it's basically me. I haven't hired anybody yet because basically I wanted to make sure that I had enough money in the bank building the business the last 4 years, and that's happened. Business has doubled in the last 2.5 years. Now, I'm not saying it to brag, but I'm just saying it to let you know that I'm very, very conservative with debt and whatnot. I don't want any debt. And we're going to talk about debt, too, because I listen to the brain trust in McDonald's, the 82-year-old men, and they talk about the way life used to be and the way they approach things versus what they see the kids doing now. And it's very, very interesting. And I want to bring a positive spin to it because I think a lot of you young people out there are saving and are doing a very, very good job of putting money away. And those who haven't started yet, you parents and grandparents that see these young couples forming households and getting going with their life, talk to them about it. Talk about your struggles that you had when you were younger, because we've all had them. And if you'd like to interject with a current question, feel free to give me a ring at 860-464-9490. Right, Chris? That's the number, 464-9490, if you'd like to tell your story. I'm particularly interested. This week we're going to talk about credit cards and the way they like to get you hooked. And there's so many wonderful ways they like to get you hooked on those. They can be wonderful tools. Don't get me wrong. There's good things about them, and there's bad things about them. And you millenniums out there that don't carry cash, do you know that the whole Visa system broke down yesterday in Europe? And from, I think, 12 in the afternoon or 11 in the morning till about 8 o'clock at night, nobody in Europe could use their Visa card. Everybody was being rejected. And my wife always tells me you carry too much cash. Please don't rob me, anybody out there. But, you know, sometimes it's good to have cash on you, kids, because sometimes the systems break down. And it's good to have a little cash on hand. So the whole Visa system broke down in Europe yesterday. I mean, not every country, but I think it was multiple, 9 or 10 countries. The whole system went down, which is very, very interesting because our young people don't carry cash for the most part. And we'll talk about that, credit cards, positivity. We'll talk about the market a little bit. If you'd like to call in with any of your stories, please give us a ring at 860-464-9490. And if you're driving around today, please be careful. And if you are a tailgater, back off. I'm hell-bent on tailgaters this week. I'm driving down to New York City after the show today, and you know we'll be running into Texers and tailgaters. Please stay away from my 03 silver Mercedes. Thank you. We'll see you in a few minutes. Thank you. Bye-bye. To the Retirement Life and Investing Show with Dennis O'Brien, owner of O'Brien Retirement, www.obrienretire.com. Go to the website, and if you'd like my Retirement 10 Commandments, just leave your name and email, and I'll pop it right out to you, and we can talk again. The second Retirement Commandment is retire with no debt. And we're going to talk about debt and credit cards and all that stuff today because, boy, oh boy, I'm running into a lot of it, and I see a lot of it, and I think a lot of it is planned, and they try to hook you in, and Let's talk about some of my pet peeves when it comes to credit cards and how they're trying to get our kids and our adults, anyone they can get their hands on, into debt. Now, if you walk into any store these days, any department store and everything else, what's the first thing they say to you when you're at the register ringing everything up? We will give you 5, 10, 15, 20% off your current bill today if you'll sign up for our and put in the name of the store credit card, blah, blah, blah. And I'm sure they're incentivized for every one they get. They get $20 or something like that. And so it's really getting old because a lot of young people go into the stores, and I'll see them thinking about it, and I'll go, hey, don't do it. And they'll be like, why? I go, because it's 24%. Yeah, but I'll pay it off every month. Oh, yeah? You promise? Well, why do you need it in the first place? And they just look at me and go, yeah, you're right. I go, don't fall for it. Tell your kids, tell everyone out there that's listening, when you go into a store and you're going to make a purchase and they offer you the credit card, say no. Say, nope, I'm all taken care of. No, thank you. No, thank you. It's another way to hook you in to a monthly payment with high interest. And I'll tell you a story. When I first started working on Wall Street in the 80s, I was at Oppenheimer & Company. And I was talking to the retail analyst. And the thing I liked about Oppenheimer in the early years was it was a boutique, okay? And I could walk into any analyst's office, even as a youngin, and say, hey, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? So I'm talking to a retail analyst one time in probably early, mid-80s, right? And I said, what do you think of Sears? You know, because my parents had grown up and would go out, get the card, go buy the washer and dryer, and then pay it off. You know, and that's how half the people in the 50s shopped after the World War II. They went to Sears and bought their stuff and everything else. So this is the early, mid-80s. I'd grown up with Sears. It's the only credit card I think my parents had. And I said, what do you think of Sears? And he laughed and he goes, Sears isn't really a store chain. It's a store chain. It's a credit card company that happens to have some stores. And I go, what do you mean by that? He goes, Sears back in the day used to have $18 billion in credit card receivables, okay? $18 billion. That's a lot of money back in the early, mid-80s, okay? He says they buy the money for 1%, they lend it out at 18, and you do the math. All their profits come from that credit card subsidiary. The stores are just loss leaders to open up credit cards. I go, you got to be kidding me. He goes, not only that, he goes, you can go into a lot of bankruptcy courts and they'd have a lawyer there all day and they'd have hundreds and hundreds of people that got behind and they would just have someone full-time sitting there in bankruptcy court bringing case after people. It was just part of the business model that, you know, people don't know about. So credit cards from the stores, say no and tell your young people. Because those are the ones, you older ones usually haven't figured out that, you know, no, I don't need another card. Because one more, pretty soon you're in trouble, okay? And you're starting to go after the 0% one in order to pay off the 18% one. And then you use the 18% one again. And, oh, whatever, okay? So please tell your young people, stay away from the store cards and everything else. Okay, number two, the other way they try to hook you in, other than the stupid ads on TV with that Jennifer or whatever her name is, okay, the second way they try to hook you in is when your kid turns 18, they are going to start getting blasted by cards, okay? And if they're off in college, they're going to start, some of them without being trained, are going to open accounts that you don't know about. So you got to teach your kids at 18 that, no, you're not going to have a credit card. You don't use it. And if you open one, give me the card. I don't want you using it, okay? Because they know. They want to get you when you're young and dumb, okay? So this is what they want to do. And they're all guilty of it, so teach your kids early on, watch out for the cards, okay? It's the opposite of becoming a millionaire. It's becoming a debtor, okay? Instead of saving money, you're paying back money on future income, which is stupid, okay? We don't want your kids doing that, okay? I know for the older ones, you're going, well, this is common sense. You know, my 82-year-olds are rolling their eyes right now. We never had credit cards, but they don't understand with the technology now that these companies have. They know who everybody is. They know when you turn 18, and they know what to mail, and they know how to do the pitches. They know how to do it, and they want to get you hooked on early, and we want your kids to avoid that, okay? And then the third way they do it, and this is something we're going to talk about, is the credit card debt. Once you have it, say you have five cards, and all of a sudden you're paying 24%, you're having trouble making your payments, so you see a solicitation for a 0% card where you won't have to pay interest. So you open up five more. Then you open up five more when they run out. And then all of a sudden you got balances everywhere. And I ran into that this week where somebody had almost 20 credit cards with $92,000 in debt. 20 credit cards. 20. It's absolutely incredible. I looked and I just went, oh my God. So it doesn't matter how old you are. These things are bad, bad, bad. And the other thing is stop taking equity out of your house. Pay your house off. Have a goal. Do it. Try to do an accelerated basis. But the main goal is to have no debt when you retire. So you want to go out at 56, 66, 76? You can work as long as you want. I plan to work because I love having my own company. And I'm 61 and I want to work till I don't have my marbles anymore. But that's my choice. You know, but if you want to retire and you're doing heavy manual, I don't know if I'd want to do heavy manual when I'm 71. Some guys and gals can do it. I don't know if I'd be the one, you know, but at the same time, you want to retire with no debt. In order to do that, you have to be very, very disciplined. You need some help. You're going to need some advice. Give me a ring. More than happy to help you and get you going again. Because we've all had gotten in trouble from one time or another. We've needed help from a wiser, older head in many cases. Nothing wrong with that. Just reach out and help. You've made the first major move when you reach out and ask somebody for help. We don't charge by the hour, so our clients can call. Welcome to call us anytime with questions, concerns about financial decisions to be made, or just to brainstorm. I welcome these calls and take pride in our ability to help our clients in any way we can. So that's very, very important. You know, we all have items of personal meaning to us, and it wouldn't necessarily be of value to most anybody else. An estate plan gives you the opportunity to put in writing the things that you value the most, and you want certain people to get certain things. Certain things you would like to be carried out in a certain way. So make sure you write it out. For you older folks out there, get into your 60s, 70s, and 80s. Write out if you have special things that you want, say, your grandson to have or a granddaughter to have or son or daughter or, you know, whoever, a friend. Make sure you write out what you want to give away and whatnot. Would you know what to do if you came into sudden wealth? And everybody goes, oh, rolling their eyes, I'd love to have that problem. It does present certain challenges, though. Think inheritance, lawsuit settlement, a lottery win. Newfound wealth can be exciting, but overwhelming. It's not uncommon for lottery winners to end up in debt because they mismanage their newfound riches. Having a trusted, qualified financial person can make all the difference in the world. And I've had a couple, in 38 years, I've had a couple lottery winners. One did it the right way, one did it the wrong way. The one that did it the right way didn't tell anybody, got together with me, created a good circle of trust with a state attorney, a good CPA, designed the plan, put everything in place, and just started spending the interest from the winnings in the first couple of years that we got the feet on the ground and kept their mouths shut. The second one told everybody. Everybody came out of the woodwork, and within 5 years, they were in Chapter 11. So which one do you want to be, the smart one or the dumb one? And believe me, I'd say probably... I talked to Ken Rutker, an offensive lineman, I think for the Green Bay Packers. I think he was in the 80s or 90s. And Ken was running an effort for the ex-NFL players. And he told me that 78% of ex-NFL players were either divorced, Chapter 11, bankrupt, and suffering from depression within 2 years of being let go by the NFL. 78%. All right. So what I tell you is if you get a big, keep driving that old truck. Don't run out to the car dealer. Don't be stupid. Keep your mouth shut. Find a pro, hopefully me, and I'll surround you with a team and I'll keep them all accountable and make sure they're doing a good job for you and probably move you out of state unless, of course, Hartford changes their ways, but We'll talk about that too, because, you know, you have children, grandchildren here. You don't want to leave. And I understand that. So we could talk about that also. All right. It's also smart to seriously consider and define your hopes, dreams, and goals. What's the single most important thing you want your money to do for you? Do you want your money to be left for someone? Do you want your money to throw you off income? Do you want your money help you go on trips and have experiences? Do you want your money to buy a dream vacation home or a second home or your retirement home that you can sell your primary and go to? Really, it's good to sit down and start really thinking things through, and I like to help people do that. And finally, you are your best asset, so don't be afraid to invest money in yourself. This is especially true when you have youth on your side and you have more years ahead of you to reap the benefits. Read, take courses, continuously push the boundaries you've allowed yourself to learn and grow. You never try to be a lifelong learner. Always try to learn. Now, this thing called the internet, you know, which is, you know, I didn't have when I was young, is an absolutely amazing tool. And what I love most about the internet is I'll read the articles, but I really like reading the comments. Because some of the comments, about 80% of them are kind of garbage. But the 20%, the jewels of people that really know their stuff and are commenting on something you didn't know if it was true or not, I really, really find that informative and interesting. So we'll talk about that in the next segment. We're going to talk about positivity a little bit and how you can bring a positive attitude to your life, your investment, your goals, and everything, and your family, and all the ones you love and care about. This is Dennis O'Brien, www.obrienretired.com. Come back in the next segment. We'll have some more fun. Bye-bye now. Connecticut, Dennis O'Brien, owner of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group and host of the Retirement Life and Investing Show here on 94.9 News Now. Thanks for listening in on this muggy Saturday morning. I hope you guys are all out doing errands and have a good time, and be careful out there. I want to talk about positivity a little bit. Once in a while, things kind of, you're going along in life and you meet a lot of people. And got to know this dude. I liked him, but I didn't know what it was about him. And I started thinking about it and stuff like that. And we'll talk about that a little bit. What's going on out there? If you'd like a free retirement review, I'm more than happy to help you. It costs nothing. Can mean everything. Just for your marriage, future retirement, or happiness. You know, don't delay. Reach out before it's too late. You can give me a ring during the week at 860-415-9614. You can call any time, and it'll forward to my cell on the weekends. So who runs the money in your marriage and partnership? Nobody? Wife, husband, boyfriend, girlfriend, mom, dad? Do they do it well, or do they do it poorly? If poorly, does the partner speak up or quietly go down the tubes, pointing the finger of blame but not doing anything about it? I've seen that. I've seen people sit there and let the spouse do a poor job and not say anything and then go, oh, you know, really? Come on. Are you a grown-up or not? Grow up. Come on. I know many of you never got help from your parents teaching you this stuff. After all, talking about money was taboo in many families. Heck, in church, we learned that money is the root of all evil. That's what I learned in church. Money was the root of all evil. What a load of you-know-what. Doesn't stop the church from asking for it, right? So, come on. Let's talk about what money really is. The truth is, money is a simple, non-emotion unit of exchange between two willing parties exchanging value, which can be labor, goods, services, or otherwise. In other words, both parties get what they want and move on. Defining by how much money you have or do not have is the road to ruin, I believe. Instead, define yourself as what and who you love and treat it as a means to an end. You are much more emotional about money than money is about you. Money doesn't know you, doesn't care about you one way or the other. So stop getting emotional about it and treating it like it's your friend or your enemy, because it doesn't care. It's just a unit of exchange. I know it sounds strange to say it that way, but people actually come in and are emotional about it in ways that really, frankly, you know, it just gets in the way of what's really important. The lack of money, in my view, is a disease that can be cured, but it takes a certain toughness, commitment, and the help of a good money coach to get you to change the way you think of it, think of money. The main thing about a money coach can help you fight through the mental traps of money and get you on your way to less stress and a more happy state where you're in control. For example, instead of mauling it or shopping, take long walks with your honey in nature. Bring a thing, a jug of water, and go for a walk. You don't have to spend money every day. You know, you can bring a coffee to work in a mug and make it on your Keurig in the morning instead of stopping back at Starbucks and getting hit for $4 or $5. I see you all going into Starbucks every morning, hitting it on your way. Hey, reward yourself on Friday. But you know, remember the latte factor. You could save a lot of money and put it away if you stop doing that. Money controlled and planned may be a great force for happiness, fulfillment, and freedom. Uncontrolled, it can lead to depression, divorce, and unfortunately maybe suicide. I think that turning it around starts with practicing something called positivity. I know a guy who people are attracted to like bees to honey, not because he's particularly good-looking or rich or dresses well. He's a normal guy, wife and kids, but he's discovered a powerful secret to success in my view. The thing about this guy is he's unrelentingly positive with everyone he meets. He's smiley, joking, and engaging, and it's sincere. He listens actively, asking questions instead of thinking about what he's going to say when you're talking. He always finds something nice to say, handing compliments out that are like glows to everyone he meets. He's always willing to help. He acts with complete integrity in his business dealings and will walk away if he feels a client is not well served. He acts with complete integrity in his business dealings and will walk away if he feels a client is not well served. That's a powerful statement. He likes to help fellow professionals in any way he can. And he's shocked when people try to help him. Oh, no, no, I'm fine. No. So I go out of my way. Anything I can do to help this guy, I just love to see his face because he just doesn't expect it. He's not one of these people who's like, what have you done for me lately? He's one of those people who's like, no, let me help you. No, let me help you. I just get a kick out of him. He's just a wonderful person who I said like people are drawn to him from all walks of life. He's a joy to be around, to be honest with you. He's well on his way to becoming financially wealthy, but more importantly, he's respected. Not because he gifts large checks at the end of life and has pictures in the paper. No, because everyday kindness he shows to people from all walks of life is evident in what he does. He's just a good person. He's my friend, but more importantly, I respect him. He practices something I call positivity. Do you want to lead this type of life? Then every night, just put up YouTube. There's a 2-hour tape that helps you go to sleep, you know, with the music, you know, the synthesizers in the background, and somebody talking a soft voice about affirmations and good things and what you can get done in your life and positive things. Listen to that for 2 hours as you go to sleep every night. You'll feel the better in the morning. Exercise every morning. Do a little yoga and stretching, easy to find on the internet. Ease off the sugar. Read the papers every day and know what's going on. Be interesting. Surround yourself with positive people that have a can-do attitude. If you're surrounding yourself with people that just, you know, complain and you know what every day, yeah, move on. Get away from them. And if you feel better yourself, you'll notice that people will start treating you differently. You know? You smile at people and ask them about their day and compliment them on something, you're going to notice people are going to reflect back to you, and people are going to want to be around you. You will say to yourself, but I'm the same person. But you are really evolving to the point where you might even inspire those around you. You'll attract like-minded people. You'll be a joy to wake up in the morning. You'll be exhausted at night, but you'll sleep like a baby. You will stop looking back at any mistakes you made. After all, there are too many people to help now. You don't have time. Laugh out loud. You want to get going. Practicing positivity. May life change, may change you. Repeat often. Use as a mantra. Practicing positivity. Say it to yourself. You teachers and principals out there. Greet every kid at the door in the morning. Tell them it's going to be a great day and you believe in them and can't wait to help them achieve that day. If the principal stood out the middle school, elementary school, and greeted each young person as they got off the bus, then I know some of the bigger schools it's difficult. This is why I believe schools should be 200 kids or less. Less, because nobody can hide. Okay? And that principal stood outside the door and shook every kid's hand and says, I believe in you. I believe you could succeed. Kids are sponges. They hear that. They want to go, go, go. Okay? Parents, do the same. Tell your kids. We all have to discipline our kids, but at the same time, try to be unrelentingly positive with them and everyone else. Because they see what you do, not what you say. You can talk to your blue in the face, but if you practice what you preach, they're going to follow you. You know, children are going to react in interesting ways, and I got thinking about it, in ways you might not suspect. Maybe the bullying will fade, as the bullies themselves feel better about themselves and do not have to act out anymore. Because most bullies are just scared. They're scared because the parents instilled it in them. They don't have self-confidence. They act out. They feel like they have a little control if they can bully other kids. But if somebody stare every day unrelentingly positive with them and telling them they can do it and you believe in them, that's the most powerful thing you can say to anybody, kid, adult, anybody. I believe in you. I think you can do it. That is the greatest gift you can give anybody. And maybe the ADD, you know, attention deficit disorder. Subscriptions for the boys will go down because we know most ADD is for the boys, right? What, 90%? You know, in the old days, old teachers used to tell me we'd make the boys run around the school twice and shovel all the snow and then let them come in because they're just more active. They're more hyperactive than the girls sometimes. Yes, there are differences between the genders, my friends. There are. Maybe the teachers and parents can work together instead of being at odds. Boy, that would be a wonderful example for our kids. And here's another thing. Maybe in politics, maybe the negative ads would stop working because people rejected the negativity and real discussions could begin about our best course of action. Wow. Imagine that. That's my rant on positivity. I want you all to try it. I want you all to think about how you can help. I can be a positive person in everybody's life. Okay? Enough. Come back to me. We'll be back in the next section. Dennis O'Brien, www.obrienretired.com. Go to the website and email me if you'd like a retirement review. Back in a few. Thanks. Dennis O'Brien, president of O'Brien Retirement, www.obrienretire, if you'd like a free retirement review. I'm the host of the Retirement Life and Investing Show. Thanks for listening in on News Radio Now, 94 FM. And driving down, we went to Arlington Cemetery last week, Laurie, I, and Paul, my father-in-law, my wife. My mother-in-law is buried there. My father-in-law is a 21-year Air Force veteran. Served his country between 1951 and 1972. And my mother-in-law, Lillian, great lady, it was her 10th anniversary of her passing, and we wanted to go down and pay our respects. And Lori got talking to a lady who lost her son to an IUD in Afghanistan, and she was from the state of Washington. Her husband passed at 28. And she moved from the state of Washington to the Arlington area to be closer to him. And she was pregnant at the time, and she had a 3 or 4 year old also. And she was at the, Lori walked up to her and just said, you know, sorry. And they talked away like moms will do, you know, and just talking away and everything else. And while I waited them to chat, I noticed that there were 20, Marines gathered around. And I think they were Marines, but they were in, civilian clothing. All look athletic, 20, 21, 24, gathered around one grave, and one of them turned side by side. We're taking turns saying prayers or just commenting on their fallen comrade. And I just looked in, looking out at the scenes and realizing what an amazing country we live in. You know, we have a country that is just, you know, people tell me, you know, you're too patriotic, America's got all these problems. And we do. Every country has problems. I've been around the world. But for just work ethic, it's the greatest country in the world. I think our people, people around the world want to come here. They want to succeed. They want to do well. You know, I got a young kid named Elon sitting there in South Africa who's a genius, wants to move to America and start companies, and he becomes Elon Musk and starts Tesla and PayPal and SpaceX, and he could change the future of mankind. As far as I'm concerned, this guy is absolutely a genius, all right? Did Elon, when he was a young man in South Africa, ever think to move to China? No. Did he think to move to Europe? No. Where did Elon want to come to? He wanted to come to America. Because he knew. He knew he could have his dreams here. Expand, employ tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people eventually. And start a company. See, that is America. That's what it's all about. Okay? Then on the other hand, all right, when I'm driving through Arizona, beginning of April, and I see some of the poorest Navajo nation driving through, seeing actual real poverty and everything else, and we can do better than this. We need to. But once we put our minds to something, there's nothing we can't do in this country. It includes Connecticut. Now, Connecticut's been under the gun the last 6, 7, 8, 9 years. You don't need, you know, you can listen to Rocky. He'll tell you all about it, what's going on out there. We have seen a lot of towns raise the property taxes on this cycle because state aid got withdrawn. Instead of raising taxes, Hartford decided they would raise taxes and blame the towns by cutting the state aid. My hat's off to Montville, by the way, who had little or no increase because they really went to work cutting their budget. My hat's off to the leaders of Montville because I read in the paper. Because I'm on a lot of these Facebook town sites because I want to hear what the people are saying. 5%, 8%, 4% mill rate increases. You know, Stonington even, they brag about, you know, how they're the only town in the state that actually grew in population. Big increase this year, you know. Because, oh, yeah, we cut the mill rate, but we got revalued, and it turns out your dollars out of pocket's going to go up whatever percent. So it is out there, okay, one way or the other. My hat's off to Montville for what they've done. They've done a fantastic job. So good job. And the rest of you out there, I had a man come in my office this week. His name is Oz Griebel, and he's independent candidate for governor. So I sent Oz my covenant, Connecticut Covenant, and how we can get Connecticut turned around again, which I wrote and designed myself. And I haven't heard back from Oz yet, but hopefully we will and have him on and he can talk about. He's a 69-year-old that's been around a long time. I think he helped run Bank of Boston, and then he ran the Greater Hartford Alliance up in Hartford. And he's running for governor, and I don't really care. You know, I'm not favoring one person over another. I just want to get stuff done. And I don't mean stuff. I want to get it done. I want to get the state growing again. Because without growth, we're dead in the water. We need growth. Connecticut needs growth. In order to get growth, we need to cut our tax burdens. In order to cut our tax burdens, we need to figure out our expenses and get them more efficiently paid for. Okay? And you can take that for what it's worth, but that's what needs to do. Because what the people in Hartford don't realize, and all the main constituent groups, some of them don't realize, is Connecticut and each state is an individual entity, economic entity. Okay? We're especially vulnerable as an economic entity when a person can go right down the highway with the same language, federal tax system, everything else, and can move. Okay? There's no border, there's no passport. They can move easily in this country from one state to another. So when your economic entity is chasing away the money and attracting the non-money, you're going to have problems with growth. Okay? We need to change that around and become more attractive to the money out there. Because I've talked to out-of-state businessmen, and one guy says, I could hire 10,000 people in Connecticut and open 5 plants. But you guys aren't giving the signals. You're giving the signals, stay away. And that's what the way he perceives it. Because you have a perfect location between Boston and New York. Your infrastructure is a little dated, but you got that great location. And you used to be, 30 years ago, I wouldn't have thought twice about it. But now, not so much. Now you're talking tolls? You think we're by ourselves? We're not. And that's why we need to wake up and start competing. Because we're competing with Florida, with Tennessee. North Carolina's come a long way. They've done a lot of good things down there. Their houses are up 30% since 2012. Ours are flatlined. The good news is, I'm practicing my positivity right now. The good news is Connecticut houses are starting to sell very quickly, especially under 350. They're popping out pretty quick. There's not a lot of supply. If we get the right people in Hartford in September, in November, with the right plans, and send those signals to my buddy out of state who could hire all these people to come in, we could fly. Because our houses could appreciate 20-30% really quick if we get the right people in, get this state going again. And I believe we can do it. We're itching to go. We're itching. The houses are itching to go. The appreciation is there. People want to come in. They just want that signal that we want them. We want the growth. We want positivity. We want to see things succeed. We can do this. Okay? So if you in November, vote for the people you think can grow our economy. Because if we can start growing it again, then we'll have money for social programs. We'll have money for contracts and all this stuff. But if the contracts and the social activity come before the growth, then we have to take more and more and more from the people that make it and give more and more and more to the people that take it. And that's a formula for failure, and that's been tried the last 8 or 9 years without success. And that's why our houses are worth 30% less than everyone else in the country, because we have had very poor growth policy in the state. Extremely poor. And despite that, the hardworking people of the state, all right, have so much talent, so much creativity. There's a lot of money in this state. There's a lot of talent. There's a lot of young entrepreneurs out there that want to stay. A lot of our kids have moved to New York or Boston or down south. They would love to come back if we give the signals we want them. And we have to start thinking about those sort of things. So Oz, if you're listening out there, and you're ready to talk about these things in a realistic way instead of talking political platitudes, because if I hear political platitude on this show, I'm all over you like a cheap suit. I don't want to hear it, because you know and I know it's a bunch of BS sooner or later. But now bear in mind, let's change topics a little bit. Nowadays, we have access to everything online, okay? Credit card information, our paychecks, insurance policies, retirement savings, and bills. Everything's online these days. Something happens to you. You get sick, or you go on to meet our maker in the sky. It's going to be very, very difficult for a family member to navigate and settle all your financial responsibilities when you pass away without having the codes, the passwords, and everything else. This is, I think, a real problem. You might have noticed some news reports where people have lost tens of millions in Bitcoin value because the codes are gone. They lost them. Their computer crashed. Really? You don't have a cloud backup on that? And everything else. The last thing I want to leave you with is this. To get in the habit of saving money, start treating it like a non-negotiable monthly expense. By doing this, you'll soon have enough money saved up and may even be able to take that long overdue vacation. We all need a break now and then, okay? Change changes everything. It changes our attitude and keeps us positive and everything else. And I just want to leave you with this. I wish you all the very best. I want you all to do well. I want you to wake up in the morning and feel good and positive about your day. I don't want you drinking alcohol to numb yourself. I think if you need help, just go get some therapy. Let it out. I think you're a hero if you do that. Don't fall yourself into alcohol and drugs. Try to be a positive, uplifting person. try to start saving money automatically. If you're in that, getting close to that retirement age, come in, let's do a review and see where you're at. You're under no obligation. People say that it's the first time, sometimes the spouses have talked about money when they come in and meet with me. And they say it, sometimes it saves the marriage, you know, and which is the most wonderful thing of all. So I wish you all the very best. Have a great week. And if you want to talk to me, give me a call, 860-415-9614. Have a great week, everybody. Go Yankees. Bye.